No, it feels good to be back, especially from being sick. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians.
Not for ourselves, not for our own glory, out beyond ourselves, for God because he deserves it. Isn't that right? If there's anything about ourselves that's involved in it, trying to get praise from men, that goes nowhere. We're here because Jesus and what he did on the cross, he deserves everything from us. Doesn't he?
Yes.
He deserves our time. He deserves our ministry. He deserves our thoughts. He deserves our love. Yes?
Yes.
And that means it's going to be translated not just to him in our prayers and our worship, but to our brothers and sisters as well. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now, I told you to go to Colossians, right? Okay. So I guess I better get there. Colossians chapter 3. I guess I should say, and can say, that one of the songs especially, well, there was two songs that really met me. I'm sure that some of the other songs probably met you in some other way. We're all different. A song might touch you that might not particularly touch me and just move me up into the heavenly realms. But there are places in the worship time that should take you somewhere. You know? It should, shouldn't it? If you and I are here to worship God and we have the songs to sing, then something in our hearts in desire to worship God should get us there. Oh, I don't like the songs we took, you know, sang. That none of them really meant me. Well, the song itself can help us because of the words that remind us of the truth of the gospel. There's that aspect. But if you're giving yourself over to God, if you draw near to God, what's he going to do? He's going to draw near to you. There is really no excuse. And what I find is that when that isn't happening, my head isn't really in the heavenlies. Yeah? And you know what? We don't have to condemn ourselves for that. We are human beings that are fallible and miss the mark lots of times. Now, I don't want myself, and I hope you don't want to give yourself an excuse to stay there. Yeah? But this is so important for us that our minds be in the right spot, because if it is, you're going to meet God. God. Jesus. Himself. We're not playing here, are we? But I'll tell you what, the enemy wants to find any way he can to get you diverted off of heavenly things and keep you at a lower level of thought. All kinds of different ways he can do that. You might not like particularly the sound of my voice. I can't wait for him to get finished. Or somebody else. You know? We have these little low-level prejudices about different people. Yeah?
Yes.
You think that's true?
Yes.
We have our own little low-level prejudices about what we want to accomplish for ourselves in a service and how God needs to bless us in a certain way. And we miss what God might want to do because we have it all figured out ourselves. Yeah?
Yeah?
Isn't that pathetic? It's pathetic that we who are striving and pressing toward a high mark can still get caught in this. And yet we do. I do. You do. And we're not pointing fingers at anybody. We're not. I hope that you look to yourself and say, boy, if there's anything that's write about me there. God, change that. I don't want those. I don't want that. I want to have my mind in the right place. I want to be, as the song said, in your presence, Lord. Fill the place with your presence, God. Right?
Yes.
I mean, and when you were singing that, were you really asking God for that? Were you really saying that? See, that's important. That we're not just singing words, even singing good words. That has to be something that comes out of your heart, not just out of your mouth.
That's right.
You know? I'm not scolding you right now. You understand that? You understand that, right? Because I can kind of get all revved up and my wife says, "You sound like you're mad." I'm not mad. I'm keyed up. Because I think it's important for us not to play around, you know? It's important for us that when we're singing words, that we mean those words, that we grab a hold of those words, and we make it who we are. Right? Fill this fill the atmosphere.
How'd that go? Something about filling the atmosphere? Flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Is that how it went? I wrote it down when we were singing. Yeah. You know, if there's anything we need, it's for the atmosphere around here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you might say, well, the Holy Spirit's in all of us, so the Holy Spirit's here. Yeah, he is. There's other spirits here. Do you know that?
Yes.
And you have to be on guard. Because there's spirits that take your mind, maybe even as I'm speaking the word. Take your mind off somewhere else. I can't wait for Gary to do that survival thing. All kinds of things come in. There are spirits here to rob you and me. That happens to me too. Dan, you want to say something?
Yes. That part on the bottom that says, "Our hearts long for you to be overcome by your presence, Lord."
Yes.
When that came up, God, you're showing me, he's been showing me this for a long time. When our hearts are full of sin, God's presence can't come in.
That's right.
The two do not mix together.
Yeah.
And we have to be honest with ourselves.
Yes, we do.
You know, whenever we sin, every little sin we do, it separates us from God. It doesn't change salvation. Don't get confused with what I'm saying. Okay? But there is a consequence for every sin that we do. Everybody who sins, we reap what we sow. And the sooner we can walk away from more sins, the closer we will get to God, then we will feel His presence inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't happen until that happens in us.
Yeah. To the degree that we recognize sin and move away from it.
Yes.
That is the degree that you're going to have a closer walk with God. Absolutely. And like Dan said, you don't lose your salvation when you sin, if you've truly accepted Christ into your life. But you're walking around in the dark in that area. And it's going to affect you being able to hear and sense the presence of God. And we have to be serious about this. How much do you really want God in your life? I have to say that to myself. How much do I really want? You know what I find out?
You know, we come in here to the church and
we sing all these wonderful, beautiful, flowery words, and it's all true and it's wonderful. We want that, but you find that you don't quite measure up. Do you find that? Because I find that. I find out, this is what I want, and this is what I'm espousing, and I'm smiling, and everybody thinks I'm really moving right along. But I have something going on, something else that's going on. That can happen to you. Can it?
Yes.
And when you actually recognize that about yourself, you're in a good place. Because now God has put His finger on that and said, "You don't want me as much as you think you do. Or as much as you want everybody else to think you do." Think about that. Because that's a big thing in Christian churches. We want everybody to think that we're these really fantastic spiritual people. And we put on all kinds of facade to make people think that. But boy, you say the right words, that shows that you're spiritual. When something else might really be going on inside, it's just a facade. This is what you do when you're around these kinds of people. But when you get out someplace else, then it's a whole different thing. When you get home, you can act a little differently. Huh? Isn't that what happens? Do you think maybe that God might want to put a finger on that today, even? To say, maybe it's time to do something different.
Maybe it's time, as it says here, I haven't gotten to the scripture yet, have I?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, how many are risen with Christ? Yeah, oh yeah. We died with him, and we're risen with him, it says in the book of Romans, right? If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Yeah. That's where our minds have to go. And this is the process that we're in as Christian people. To keep on pressing toward being who God has set us aside to be. And that requires a change of mind, a different mindset. Yeah, it does. Because we have to have our minds on him, don't we? Or have things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth.
Now, I want to say this,
that does not mean that we don't take care of things on this earth. We have jobs, families, responsibilities, and we're supposed to take care of them. We're supposed to be good stewards of what God gives us on this earth. Okay? So that's not, don't think I'm, you know, whitewashing that out of there. What we do, if we're going to set our minds on things above, then we've got to change our mindset so that more and more, as we take care of the things of this earth, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. Right? We're going to be in it, but we're not supposed to be of it. And that means a mindset change, where more and more we are turning toward God, listening to God, asking God things. If you set your mind on things above, what does that mean? What does that look like? Let's talk about this for a minute. Real short. Any kind of input you want to say.
If you read that scripture,
set your mind on things above. What are you doing to have that happen?
Praising.
All right. So you're praising God. That gets your focus. That gets your mind focused on it. Something else, Dan?
I was thinking righteousness. Focusing on righteousness.
Oh yeah. Mortifying the deeds of the body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually getting your mind set on things above, because you know that that's keeping you from getting on that path. Anything else?
Bringing up what you're going to do to God, kind of, you know,
staying
in communication. This is my plans for the day more than yours.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah, and you know that thing about leaning, you know, we're leaning on the everlasting arms. We're leaning on him.
Think about that, God.
Am I going in the right direction here? Help me, Lord. See, we're focusing our mind on things above. We're still dealing with things on earth, but our mind is leaning on God. Yeah? It's amazing the amount of wisdom and faith, grace comes to us when we, all the more so that we're including God in our thoughts, including God in our decisions, including God in the direction that we're going on, even from day to day. Isn't that right? There must be a reason why God is speaking this today. There's some reason. This isn't Malcolm just decided to give a little lecture about this today. You know? Yes?
Back to focus on the eternal.
Yes.
Not the temporary.
That's correct.
And it's amazing because George and I were just talking about this whole thing. I was just telling him, I said, wow, that's a conversation we had on the way up.
Oh, isn't that a, you know, that what a coincidence.
Yeah. It was almost to the...
Yeah. You know, those kinds of things happen. You can go, oh, God was talking to us. Mm-hmm. Oh, that wasn't just my thoughts, your thoughts. These are thoughts coming from God through your minds. Mm-hmm. To your minds. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
You know, I like it, you know, when somebody else preaches, and if I'm here, if I'm not sick or I'm not, you know, and I'm here and I hear some, and I've been seeking the Lord through the week, and they say something that goes right with what I was in. Woo! God is good. God's real. He's not far off someplace. We're not deists who think that God created the world and then went off somewhere else and isn't concerned about us. Oh no, He's concerned about you and I. He's looking for us to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Amen.
And we can take that way too casually. Oh, I'm saved now. What are you talking about? Be conformed. Well, God will do that. Really? That's why... Why does Paul say to the Colossians, you know, seek. He says seek, doesn't he?
What are the two words here? One is seek, and the other is set. Right? Seek those things which are above in verse 1. And verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above.
That's not some magic wand coming from somewhere else, and all of a sudden now, you're just feeling and doing that which you hadn't felt or done before. Oh, no. 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 We have to seek and we have to set our affection. That's true about marriage, too, isn't it? You have to work at marriage. Don't you?
A lot of work.
Hard work.
Yeah, and you know what? When your spouse, let's say, annoys you.
Oh, you can
get your spouse annoys you. You know, you have to make a determination that you're going to press through that. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to go talk to them, maybe, if it's that annoying. And if it's not, you got to think about what's going on and say, is this really worth making a big deal over? You know what I found? That one thought, is this worth making a big deal over, has really helped me in my marriage. Because there's little things about Kathy that... Can we turn this off? That was all for... But there are little things. Kathy knows this. There are little things that a little annoyed about. But you know what? Over the years, those things that were annoyance, little things I'm talking about, the little annoyances, I've set my heart past that. That's not worth getting all upset about. You know? In the grand scheme of things... You know? Now, there might be some things that you need to talk about. But setting ourselves, setting our affection toward the Lord is so, so important. And we can miss, we can all sit here and go, yeah, you're right. Setting our affection, of course it is. But there's another thing about the daily, moment-by-moment choices attempt at anything when we need to be a little bit more serious about our walk with God. Randy, do you have a hand up?
Yeah. Our natural tendency is to think too much on ourselves and the things that concern us.
Yes.
You get off from that and think of godly things, we're going to be a lot better off.
Yeah. And you know what? When something's bothering you, something's bothering you about your spouse, something's bothering you about your kids, something's bothering you about the church, something's bothering you about somebody at work, I hope that you get your head up into the heavenlies, that you set your mind on things above and start to, like somebody was saying about asking questions. God, here's a question that you should ask. God, is this important for me to be this upset about? Is this going to make a difference? Yeah?
Yep.
Because I find, my little list of things here, setting our affections on things above look like? It looks like taking the time, and some people already said this, take the time to turn toward God for direction, for wisdom, for faith, for believing something,
For strength, for everything,
just about anything, you want to slow down enough, because you know what, when something happens, we have a reaction, don't we? Yeah. And most of the time, it isn't a godly reaction. We don't take, if you've turned toward God and you have a reaction, sometimes you might be righteously angry about something. That's okay. Anger is not necessarily not of God. You can have righteous anger. But most of the time, anger is a reaction that's coming from the flesh, isn't it? Yes.
No. I guess it's a little testimony. When Brian was going through all that problems last year, vomiting, and we couldn't figure out, we were going to doctor's appointments.
But this sweet lady took the brunt of my anger.
She did.
She answers the phone at the high school.
Oh.
And
God bless you.
We ended up getting the nasty grant from the high school. And with the frustration of what Brian's going through and taking care of Christine and Rich and stuff, she got it. And it was like I was blaming her for what the high school sent me. And because now Brian is missing so much school with doctor's appointments and stuff. So, but anyways, I dumped Brian at school after I got done yelling at her for no reason. And I'm driving to Walmart and I'm bawling my eyes out because that's like slapping. Woman, what did you do to this lady? So I ended up sending her flowers, and she sent me a thank you card back. And on that card I said, I'm so sorry for what I did. That was not Christian of me whatsoever, because I know God was sitting there, like, choking me, like, how could you do that to somebody else? And I just wanted to say I'm sorry again.
Now that is a testimony.
Yeah.
It really is, because that shows us in our weakness and the flesh, but then it shows us the strength and the spirit.
How God can turn something around.
Right.
Yeah.
If we act upon it like she did.
Yeah.
Great lesson.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
That is true. Which goes with another point that I wanted to make sure I touched on, and that's this. We learn from our mistakes. What does getting our head in the heavenlies when we do make a mistake, we recognize it, we ask God for forgiveness, and we take that and turn it into something. What a great example. That's a perfect example. I was hoping somebody had something.
But we're human, and we lose track of that.
That's right.
You know, we can't, I've learned to try to not stay stuck in that feeling, because there's always somebody that can't wait to point out that you're a Christian who's faith.
Sure.
You know?
Right. And this is so, so important for us that we realize, and I said a little bit earlier, we're human. We are going to make mistakes. We're Christians. We're going to make mistakes. But you know what? To get our heads up into the heavenlies, we recognize mistakes. We hear from the Lord through situations, through us into speaking to our minds and hearts that we didn't do the right thing there. Then we do something about it. You know, that's keeping your head up where it needs to be. So we learn from our mistakes. And Dan mentioned about the turning from earthly affections. You know, we can't really be in His presence, stand in His presence when we're moving in low level affections, low level thoughts. If you're moving in a critical spirit, how can you hear God? If you're moving in an angry spirit, if it's not a righteous anger, how can you hear God? And then you think you've got something to say to somebody when you're moving in a low level emotion or intellect, right? So you and I have to be careful about this. Amen. There's something going on in the spirit and the Lord wants us to be ready biting and devouring one another, number one, but also to recognize there's lots that are coming at you, and you want to have your head in the right place. You know, you and I need to have our heads up high. Our thoughts need to be high. We need to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Steve,
did I tell you guys about my experience with Willie?
VA. I don't think so.
Well, the nurse over there was very sharp and not very considerate. And she and I had a little bit of a conflict. So the last time I went over there, I went off of a physical, which was a couple of weeks ago. They took my blood pressure, and it was a little high. And she was like, she came out and said, "Edmund, follow me." Now, there was no greeting or anything. Just follow me. Sit down. Do this. Do that. So after she got done doing her thing, she left. And I asked my doctor. I said, "Is she always like that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Was there a way that you can teach her how to be friendly, how to be nice to people?" And she called me on the phone and told me, "You know, you've got an appointment tomorrow. Make sure you're there." She just had an attitude. So anyway, my doctor took my blood pressure again, and it was way, way lower after she left. So I'm on my way home, and I'm thinking, "Willie, I just can't take that woman. What am I going to do with that woman? She's making me so angry." So I get on my tractor, and I'm mowing hay, and I'm thinking, and all of a sudden the Lord said, "Send her a thank you note." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Send her a thank you note. She doesn't deserve a thank you note." So I actually stopped what I was doing, went in the house, and sent her a thank you note. And she called the other day to ask me a question about something, and she just had a different attitude. Like, she didn't say thanks for the note, but it was like, "Hey, Mr. Emmett, how are you? And I just want to check on this, and thank you for your service, and have a good day." And like, just a little thank you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, Kelly was saying.
Yeah.
You know, you want to lash out, but we can't do that. So Willie's, I don't know what's going on in her life, but it's not my place to know. But sometimes people are like that, and you have to reach out to them rather than get them.
Now, when you were riding on your tractor, Steve, were you just thinking about the grass that you were cutting and the cows? wonder what Melinda's doing at work. How did those thoughts come into your mind?
Because from the moment I got there until the moment I got on the track to that, my mind was consumed by that.
By that particular thing. And then God spoke to you.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was something about your heart that was looking for resolution.
Yeah.
Because if that was true, then God, knowing your desire and your reaching into Him, maybe not even with your own mind, but with your heart, you reached out to Him and He spoke to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you had your head was up in the heavenlies. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
You understand that? And we need to set our affect. We have to set our affection that way lots of times. You know that. And where is the affections in our hearts, right? It's really important that we're desiring God to just overwhelm this place wherever you're at, you know, and fill the atmosphere of wherever you're at. That can happen to you and me. And I think that's really important for all the things that are up ahead in this world, that our heads are up above the fray. Our heads are in a heavenly place so that we can hear from God very, very clearly. Amen?
Amen.
I think sometimes, Malcolm, you can never know what's going on in someone's life.
Right.
You don't know what they're going through. And the way you treat them or the way you respond to them can make a really big difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have no idea how much a smile or a kind word means to someone when they've had, you don't know what's happened to them that day or what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
And it can make a big difference.
Even
if someone's sharp with you, if you think first and lean on God,
yeah,
and try to, I have to try to get through it, but sometimes after a while it just comes more naturally where you just,
yeah,
you know, try to get to them.
The more that mindset, the more you set your mind, so you're going to have a particular mindset, right? The more you set your mind that you're going to, instead of react, you check yourself, you ask God how I should think about this, or what should I do right now? That's going to make a big difference. Going to be a big, big difference in your reaction to other people, for sure.
Yeah, you talked about that. Quite a few years ago, I was in a restaurant, and I asked this waitress for water, and the next thing I got a lap full of, like, three or four glasses of water. And instead of getting mad, which everybody looked at me at that time, because a lot of people knew me, and I said, next time, can I have it in glass? And everybody, you know, started laughing, and she actually relaxed, because she was all tense, upset, worried, you know, that I was going to flip out on it. I'm like, it's already done. What are you
going to
do?
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Malcolm?
Yes.
Sir. I think one other thing is that you have to be obedient to what the Lord puts on your heart. How they deal with it, the people that receive it, that's up to him and her and them.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, she still had an attitude towards me.
Yeah, that shouldn't change the way you're going to approach her. That's correct. Yeah, exactly. One last thing. When we have our minds up in the heavenlies, I think one thing that becomes apparent is that it isn't about us. You know that Korean Air commercial? It's all about you. That's how life is today. That's how the world looks at things. It's all about you. And really, in Christian circles, it's all about how God can do, can take care of you. It's all about God doing something for you. Right? Instead of being a vessel of the Lord to do something out beyond yourself. See, this is where you get to. When you do come into His presence, He is way greater than us. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. He He has everybody's best interest at heart. We have our own interest at heart. Mostly. Isn't that right? If you're not in the Spirit, all you're thinking about is what you can get out of someone.
I just started writing this poem this week, and it's when I was younger, I wrote poetry to express my feelings, and I started thinking about this, and I said, well, I really have to do that again. This is the last few lines of my poem. Read it. It's not finished.
Open my eyes and help me to see. We're here to serve you, Lord, and it's not about me. Wow. The coincidences are just piling up. God is speaking something to us, and God uses confirmation. This is confirmation. That was confirmation. For us to see, hey, this isn't just a message. This is something that God is saying through a very imperfect vessel. But it's God's words to us. Take what he's saying to you and walk with it. Learn from it. Do something with it, right? But this, I think this is really... most people, I wrote down this, the way that we really live a full life is where we're living for something higher than ourselves. That's when you feel fulfilled. It's that paradox of when you lose your life, you find it. Isn't that right? When you kill, mortify, it says in the King James, if you mortify the deeds of your body, the deeds of your fleshly being, you will live. That's not talking about physical living necessarily. It's talking about you're gonna live life and live it more abundant. When you're not so focused on yourself and what that person there can do for you, and because we want things our way, but we really should want it his way. And I learned a long time ago that no one person has the whole perspective of things, right? That's why we have a corporate eldership. That's why we have things even during a message where people can add in. God doesn't give me everything to say. I'm not supposed to completely exhaust what God wants to say coming from me. He wants you. He doesn't give me stuff so that you have stuff. He gives you the stuff to say. It isn't just one preacher preaching. We're all preachers. I didn't even hear a second.
Some of us are better than others.
Yeah, but we're not preaching Christ.
Well, yeah.
Christ.
Some preach with actions.
Yeah, some preach with actions and the dumber people we just talk.
No. Well, I would say that I'm at the close of the message here. And I just ask for myself, Lord, and for everybody here, that you would make real this walk that we're to walk with you, and that we would be people that would cry out for the fire, for the deep zeal for you, Lord, where we learn to more and more put our head in the heavenly places, have our heart there, be desirous more and more of you, because Lord, you are worthy of it. We love you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we would be people that would really experience full to the brim walk with you. Full to the brim, Lord. Be with us today as we keep our head in the heavenlies. While our feet are on this earth, while we walk through all the things that are happening in this world, Lord, that our minds would be stayed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.